So I've been asked to speak about the topic of devotee care. And we find in the Upadesamrita, the Nectar of Instruction of Srila Rupa Goswami, something about the six loving exchanges between the Vaishnavas. Dadati prati grinati, that one must give in charity, and one must receive also. So between Vaishnavas, there is that sharing element. Dadati prati grinati guyam agyata prichati, that one must speak and hear confidentially. That there should be confidentially means about devotional service. There are so many intricacies about devotional service that come in our practical experience. And these kind of exchanges are needed in our relationships. That we share our experiences in spiritual life so that we can see we're not alone, and that we also see that we're all going through the same thing. Sometimes the relationships amongst the Vaishnavas were treated differently than in material relationships. Like amongst his disciples, Srila Prabhupada would quite openly discuss someone's faults or weaknesses in front of everyone. In front of everyone. But it was not to embarrass a person in front of everyone, but it was that this is for everyone. This instruction is relevant for everyone. It's not just for one. It is actually for all. In Srila Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada used to write letters on aerograms. Aerograms were blue and folded, and he had these particular aerograms that he used that were quite distinct. So if such an aerogram would arrive in the mail, anyone knew this is from Prabhupada. And then he said, who got it? To who? It's addressed to who? But there was no question that, you know, this is my letter, you know, excuse me, you know, it's my private letter, you know. No, they just gave the receiver of the letter the chance to read it, and then, what did he say? Right? Then it, virtually speaking, became public property. And why was it so? It was because they were such a community, right? They were all together, and this was Prabhupada's mercy, Prabhupada's instruction, and that was for everyone. Everyone needed to benefit from that. So there was no way you can't say this is private. How can you say Prabhupada is not private? Prabhupada belongs to us all. In that spirit, you see. So Guyamakyam Prichati is understood in this way, that we share confidentially, but sometimes very publicly, confidential experiences in devotional service. Bhunte bhutayati chayava, that we are taking prasadam together, and we are always giving prasadam. So these are sattvidam pitivas. These are these six loving exchanges between Vaishnavas. So all devotee care begins at this loving exchange, this spirit of loving exchange. It is based on Vaishnava etiquette, sadachar. All relationships amongst Vaishnavas are governed by sadachar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami to write a book on Sada Achara, the behavior of the saintly person. And we see that when Sanatana Goswami had joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he first joined him in Varanasi. There he had traveled the whole journey and escaped from the Nawab Hussein Shah, dressed up like a Muslim mendicant, came to the door of the house in Banaras where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to the devotees, go see if there is a Vaishnava at the door. They looked, said no.
They looked here, they
said, they came back, said no. No Vaishnava, no. Was there anyone at all? Well, there was a Muslim mendicant. Yes, that one, call him, call him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced that Muslim mendicant. He was Sanatan. Then Sanatan took a very renounced way of life. They offered him new cloth, but he said, no, give me an old, used dhoti. He ripped it in four pieces, and in this way he had two sets. Right? Two sets. Bottom. And that was his cloth. He lived very simple. Later, when Sanatan Goswami joined the other devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, at that time, Sanatan Goswami was received by them. It said they gave him honor, they gave him friendship, and they gave him mercy. Honor because he was a very qualified, learned personality, and because he was a Vaishnava. And as such, he deserved honor. They gave him friendship, not just artificial friendship, but real friendship. They really accepted him as one of theirs. And they gave him mercy, and they could give him mercy because they had a lot of association with the Lord. And any Vaishnava can give mercy because we all received some mercy, something. So in this way, we see how Vaishnava relationships are being governed. That is the essence of devotee care. The essence is a family spirit, is a spirit where we accept everyone and their needs as ours. That is community spirit. The needs of others become also our needs. Not that. Yet we are all in our different situations, in different ashrams, with different codes of behavior and different duties. But still, we are a close-knit family. Devotees. The first principle when we speak about devotees is that devotees are very precious. Just like diamonds are considered to be very precious because there are not so many. It's rare. A big diamond is very rare. Even a small diamond is worth a lot. Same with devotees. They're rare. They're rare. So a big diamond devotee is very rare. Like Prabhupada came down the staircase, made a little pirouette at the bottom, and then said, my spiritual master turned me into a diamond. So, big diamonds, and of course, little diamonds. Big devotees, small devotees, but all are precious. All are precious. And to be treated as such. So that is the underlying principle of all devotee care. That it's governed by love, by respect, by appreciating how devotees are precious. That it is governed by sadhachar, or the behavior of saintly persons. In the spiritual world, they walk around with arti trays. And when they meet someone, it's not like, hey, how are you? Long time no see. No, it's like, yeah, here we go. It's like Vaishnavas worship each other. So in that spirit, devotee care becomes realistic. Now, when we speak about devotee care, we can subdivide that into several categories. We can speak about the spiritual care, and we can also speak about material care. And material care is equally important because it creates the foundation. It creates a foundation for spiritual life. If materially there is no care, then after a while not eating, it becomes difficult to get the hand in the bead bag. So we can see there is a direct relationship between the material and the material care and the spiritual care. So in the material world, especially in the modern world, things have become very impersonal. Impersonalism is widely spread, and care is now kind of more and more going into some sort of insurance arrangement or a pension plan or, you know, these kind of things. Some government support, little pension somewhere from some government or from a few governments. Some people, they get from every government a little bit. So these are all part of like the modern way of caring. Basically, you know, well, mom, it really will be better for you. It will be so much better looked after if you actually go in a home, because there are... No, really. No, don't shake. I know you're shaking your head, but... No. You know, these people are professional. Not just professional, but, you know, they're medically trained. And what are we going to do when you suddenly get unwell? Like, but there it's so nice. There's just a bell, and they'll be immediately there and caring. And, you know, they know how to administer the medication in a proper way. And it's like, it's very hard to just do all these duties alone. And, you know, they take clean, and everything is provided. It will be wonderful. And, of course, we'll come and see you all the time, 6 months later. Oh, it's so nice to see you. How are you now? So this is the modern approach. Stick it in some little apartment somewhere, in some home, and put some nice words on it. In South Africa, something like welfare deed. Or so, just around the corner. So, what shall we say? Caring. Amongst Vaishnavas, the physical care is needed, and arrangements have to be made for that. And traditionally, charitable Vaishnavas would provide for the elderly, for the weak, for those who needed protection, for education, and all these things. People would make wells, people would plant trees so there would be shade. It was all part of a caring society. So we bring in our hand luggage our old ways, our old culture. Everyone's on his own type of thing. It's so deeply ingrained in our conditioning that it's very difficult for us to act as a family. The early ISKCON was very much a family, but then it became bigger, and they became like, I often say, it became like colleagues instead of family members. And a colleague is different than a family member. A colleague is someone who is working with you, and if he doesn't work well, after a while, you go, look, you know, you're holding us up. I mean, you know, can't you act together, you know? Well, we're going to complain. We can't, you know, we can't get our work done. Right? And, you know, kick him out. Basically, a colleague is someone you can when he's not performing well, you can tell him to move on. But to your brother, it's a bit more difficult. I mean, everyone's got a brother who's a little bit like, you know, cuckoo. But what to do? Still, right? You can't just send him into the road, you know. He's still your brother, right? So in family, it's different. There is that acceptance, that unconditional acceptance, and that is the foundation. The essence of care is spiritual care, is to support people in their devotional practices, to encourage, because that will lead to us going back to Godhead. That takes us a step closer to Krishna. So that is the essence. And the material care must follow. So as a sannyasi, of course, my duty is spiritual care. Spiritual care is what we are meant to do in the devotee community. We are meant to be like the head, Mukha Bahura Padaja society. There is the head, there are the arms. The Mukha is the head, the Bahu, the arms. Bahu, the Uru, is the waist, and then the Pada, the legs. So the sannyasi, as the head, is meant to give the vision. The vision, inspiration, and so on. And that is part of, that is the foundation of devotee care. So it should be very spiritual. It should be, and then with proper material support. But it's everyone's duty to look after everyone. That's how it is. There are people who are leaving who say they had no friends. People leave a temple and say they had no friends. Then we say, what happened? What went wrong on the way to heaven? I mean, we know that saying. What went wrong on the way to heaven when someone in the temple has no friends? What's going on? What's wrong with us? How did we fail? Where did we fall short? How come someone feels they have no friends? That's awkward. Why is that? Say, well, friends must be like-minded. So, well, yeah, but we are all like-minded. We're all like-minded because we all care about Krishna and Krishna's mercy. We all care about Prabhupada. We all care about all these things. So even if we have different natures, still the transcendental substance of our relationships should overcome our different natures. In the material world, you look for people with the same nature, you know. The fast one with the fast ones, and the slows with the slows. Or sometimes a fast one and a slow. Sometimes opposites attract. I have this one disciple, name withheld, who is a computer nerd. And his whole life is just computer. And he works, of course, as an IT man, right? And when he comes home, he's on the computer immediately. He chants his japa on the computer. It's like, another hand is on the keyboard. And he's a nerd. And as a nerd, basically, he's not interested in anything. So he's tall and skinny. And his wife is very short and round. And when he says, So she says, let's go to such and such program. Nah. It's okay. I don't really want to go anywhere. And then she goes, oh, it's all right. It's already arranged. Everything's done. The car is waiting. We're going down. And she's like, totally like his opposite. And every time he's just Mr. Nerd, she totally ignores it. And somehow or other, he travels and he goes here and there. And it's amazing because it's totally, he doesn't want to do that. But she ignores it and just gets him to do it anyway. So it's a great match, you know, it really works. And that's a. So in the material world, we very much look at natures in relationships. But amongst devotees, we transcend natures. We look beyond natures. We don't just look, oh, someone has a nature. You know, it's like me, for example. You have these Ayurvedic tests, right, that you can do, and then you can fill out the form, and then you can see what your constitution is. Right? And okay, so I filled it out, and it said, like, sleeps very light. And, yeah, that's me. Wakes up really quick. Yeah, that's me. Right? So I went through the whole list. Can speak fast and a lot, can speak to everybody in the room, like, you know, no problem, can start like conversations with anyone easily. So in the end, I scored well on the Vata, right? I did. And then there was Peter, you know, is purposeful and can get things done, mover, shakers, and you tick that one also. Peter, then Kapha, kind of slow, deliberate, thick hair, kind of, you know, a slow starter. Boom, 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 boom. I'm known for going from 0 to 100 in like seconds. I've started kirtan at the same speed where others ended.
What can I say?
So, Kapha is not so much in my constitution. So, okay, no problem, you know. I am fast, right? And I can be fast, and I am absolutely impatient. Totally. I hate waiting. You know, even 3 minutes is like 3 whole minutes. You know. 30 seconds. Oh my God, you know, what's going on?
30 seconds.
I hate it. Yes, that's how I say. So sometimes when I'm with Kapha people, some of them, they speak so slow that between the words, I think of many things. And I don't miss anything. I catch the whole conversation. I go all over the place. It's what to do. The different natures, right? So I'm just trying to illustrate the point. You know, how we have different characters. And so in the material world, I would have probably said, oh, forget it, you know, I mean, this is too much. This is just too slow. But in spiritual life, it's different. We can actually appreciate, we can overcome these differences because we can see that everyone with his very different nature is serving Krishna and comes out with some very deep things. Jagadish Prabhu, he was in charge of the Gurukul, and he would come to Vrindavan and he would give a lecture, and then he'd sit, and in the middle of the lecture he would stop and he'd be quiet for 1 whole minute. A minute is long. A minute is long. I mean, in a lecture, that's very long, right? You'd be quiet for a whole minute. And then he'd come out with a very deep point, and you could see that actually he'd been thinking for the whole minute. For the whole minute, he had been thinking. It's like, for me, that's inconceivable. Since that I would be thinking for, I'm quiet for a minute, then I'm sleeping. Time to wake me up. I guarantee you that. Anyway, so, but we can see in amongst Vaishnavas that even if you have such different natures, that everyone is serving Krishna. And therefore, we can be friends with people who are totally different and appreciate them, overcome all these material limitations that normally put us in little privacy boxes and separate us from one another and actually create distances in the relationships, and we can actually just come together in appreciation. It is appreciation that is the root of devotee care, mutual appreciation. It is appreciation that is the root of friendship. Of course, therefore, one could say we are the mutual appreciation society. That is the Hare Krishna movement, the mutual appreciation society. That is our business, to somehow appreciate each other. So on the basis of that, one can begin devotee care. Now, devotee care is a huge topic. Right? It includes so many things. It includes providing for devotees in all their different phases of life, in all kinds of situations. What about the children? How do we protect our children? The first generation of Hare Krishna kids had a few complaints. What to do? So, how can we look after them better? I was just saying how someone had the great idea of put all the babies in one room and put one mother with them and sent all the others out on Sankirtan. I remember those days. Of course, now the babies are grown up and they didn't like it. The babies are complaining that we deprived them. They were deprived of their mothers. We thought it was really transcendental. Well, honestly speaking, I mean, I wasn't responsible for it because I was a new devotee, but it was, everyone thought, wow, amazing. Everyone is just sacrificing for the sanctum. So now we're looking at how to take care of our children. It's a huge challenge. How to provide education, how to provide pre-education, how to provide protection. Now we have CPOs, we have, you know, child protection teams, and, you know, CPT doesn't mean Cape Town, it means child protection team. You know. It's like, now we have all these things in an attempt to do better. It's a challenge. How to provide for the children. The Gurukul fell flat, or flat on its face. And after the whole thing, it's true. And how to create some sort of spiritual education. And is that what we want? Do we want to send the children to the slaughterhouses of modern education? Or do we want to send them to a gurukul and isolate them and keep them in their little bubble? Or do we want to just integrate them in society at an early age so they can function? Oh my God, what to do? Eeny, meeny, moe, hold the tiger by the toe. What do you do? And what choice do you make? Difficult. So many questions. So devotee care covers huge territory. But as of in the last 2 decades, there has been more and more talk about devotee care. But one thing that has been said that the movement has been had in the past up to the year 2000 been too much dominated by male values, and the female values were neglected. Yes. They are the carers, the natural carers. It's like their thing, you know, a man caring, care for a plant, yeah, for example. And with me, all the plants would die.
When they see me, they always start to dry up.
I connect too. I'm just not a good carer. So, yeah. Anyway, a mature society is absorbing all the values. All the values. Yeah, of course. One cannot go too far, you know, where we are becoming just a society that only cares, the International Society for Devotee Care. We cannot be that. We are a preaching mission. And for the sake of the preaching mission, we must take austerity, we must take risks. Who cared for Prabhupada? Nobody. But he came alone. Alone. The Gaudiya Mutt wouldn't care for him. They didn't support him in any way. Nothing. He's alone. No money. But he did. So some of that also is needed. That spirit. So rather we should not demand care. You know, listen, you know. I mean, what about devotee care? You know, I'm a member of ISKCON, and what, and you know, I am... Like, I feel there's a transgression in my rights, you know. I mean, my devotee care, I'm not receiving it appropriately. I'm sorry to say, you know, I mean, I have a complaint. And I want more devotee care. No. We should care for all the others. We should not look for care for ourselves. We should leave that up to the others. We care for all the others. Hope someone's gonna care for us. Nobody cares for me. Well, Krishna cares for me. Ultimately, Krishna is the original devotee care personality. Nobody cares better for devotees than Krishna. That's for sure. He's the ultimate devotee carer. Who takes care of them better than Krishna? So, but devotee care is a topic that does need attention, and that's why this evening I'm just sort of bouncing it around the room a little bit I gave a few angles on the topic. Now, let's have a little discussion, and then I'm gonna disappear. So anyone has a question or a comment? Yeah.
Thanks, Kumar. I'm wondering about, you kind of spoke about balance in a way. You're speaking about care, and then you're speaking about preaching. Well, there has to be a line and sort of a balance. So the balance I'm thinking about is like critical thinking, which is very dangerous. Like, I mean, something's wrong, so it has to be addressed, or you know, critical criticism. And
criticism or critical thinking?
Critical thinking. Well,
there's a difference between critical thinking and criticism.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about?
Well, how to think critically without becoming critical. How to think critically without becoming critical?
Well, critical thinking is necessary. One cannot buy everything on face value. We see that, like, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was a critical thinker who wouldn't just buy anything on face value, but would thoroughly investigate it on the basis of revealed scripture. So critical thinking on the basis of revealed scripture is good. But criticism is as limited application from teacher to student. We avoid criticism of the Vaishnavas. Your turn.
That's it, I guess. I don't know how to
articulate what I'm thinking. Try again. Begin at the beginning. Where does it all begin? Devotee care and balance.
Could we say maybe, I mean, that it's, are you heading at feedback which is objective rather than sounding like criticism?
Yeah, like communication sometimes is difficult with devotees because of natures, different natures, communicating issues or without coming across as offensive or without offending devotees. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, I mean, I think that this, you know, that it's something about offending devotees is hanging like a dark cloud over the community of devotees. We were all thinking, oh my God, I hope I'm not going to offend anybody. And that's like, you know, the man elephant offending a devotee will destroy everything. And if you just sort of have human exchanges with devotees, that's not what is meant by that. What is meant by that is that you are becoming envious towards the devotee and go after that devotee in envy. You know, not that if someone drops a pot in the kitchen on the floor and you say, "You idiot," and then you'll go to hell for having called the devotee a Vaishnav idiot, you know. That Vaishnav was an idiot. What to do? Sometimes Vaishnavas are also idiots. And so, communication may be difficult, but I think we should. It will get easier when we develop more trust. So I think I think it's difficult because the trust is poor.
So how to develop more trust?
Yeah, what can anybody do to you? See, it's like we all have to learn that like nobody can do nothing to us. So we don't have to put up defense walls, we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to be careful. And just be totally honest. And it's okay. In our Vaishnav community. It's like I sometimes tell in lectures that I used to be a sinner in the past, right? And say, like, I was reading the Bhagavad Gita while smoking and blowing smoke rings through smoke rings and smudging the pages with ashes. And then there's a magazine, which I won't mention the name, but there's a magazine that then said, oh, a self-professed sinner, just see. They criticized me for it. Well, said like, you know, isn't this movement purifying those who are sinful? Isn't that what Lord Chaitanya's movement is all about? So is it a problem that I used to smoke cigarettes and even other things? And I'm ready to say it? No. Anybody who thinks it's a problem doesn't understand the philosophy. So we can be honest. Don't have to hold up a facade. I was born in a family that was 7 generations vegetarian. And, you know, the only smoke in our house was the smoke of incense. I can start like that. And by the way, I appeared on the appearance day of such and such in the Vaishnav cabinet. The truth is, I appeared in a rotten place, that in a sinful family, in a sinful life. and this movement turned around. So now, now you know the truth. And there's a lot more I can tell you also. So we have to trust, just trust. Open up more. But that takes time, yes.
Prabhu, thank you for your lecture.
Sannyasi you should suggest to Maharaj.
Maharaj.
Not that I care about it, but the sannyasi you should suggest.
Correct. I wear my heart on my sleeve generally, and I...
You what?
I wear my heart on my sleeve. It means that the person that I am, I reveal at face value.
Yeah.
I sometimes find that trust can be compromised sometimes when you have a loving exchange with someone and you speak with them, but then you accidentally walk around the corner and they're speaking with someone else and it's in a completely different mood. And it, there's a little bit of that two-faced backbiting, and then you feel like that person is not who they revealed themselves to be, but there is another face to that person,
sure.
That can be hurtful. So then we kind of tend to want to pull some of that trust back,
yeah.
And then it becomes, you know, it becomes a little bit prickly, shall we say,
yeah.
You know? And then, look, I mean, most things blow over, generally, over time, you know, and then depending on one's nature, we forgive,
yeah.
And we forget and we carry on. But I appreciate your frankness and your openness in, like, I am this person and I don't need to put a facade on, you know, because very easily we acquire this holier-than-thou attitude when we are all, you know, we all trip and stumble while we are climbing this incredible, you know, journey up the spiral.
Yeah. And we stay on the higher levels of the spiral by the mercy of all the acharyas and so on, and then Krishna and the system. So we hold on to the system, and then we can stay on an elevated platform. Like, we can live with four regulated principles because of holding on to all this mercy. I mean, it's impossible. And that was absolutely unthinkable. If anyone would have said, you're going to live like this, I would have said, like, yeah, sure. Sure, I'll toast to that. Yeah.
I mean, addressing devotee care now, in the time that I've been in the temple, which isn't that long, there have been a number of instances where people come in and they seriously take advantage of what is available within Krishna consciousness. Now, I understand that it is potentially our failing in that those people have left or been asked to leave or not joined or something on those lines, but there must be a line that is drawn somewhere, somehow. What are the guidelines around that?
It's like this, is that the mercy is available for all, but not necessarily all in the same place. People are all in different modes of nature, and you cannot mix them. So the temple is a place meant for people who are respecting the temple, respecting the deities, who are having some level of cleanliness and so on, and who are willing to learn and take advantage of the temple. Then there are mercy programs for other people who are not meant to be in the temple, but they need to get the mercy somewhere else. But we should not exclude anyone from the mercy. So even if some people have to be kept on a distance, we still give them mercy somehow or other. We still think, how can I give them mercy? Well, it's just like the people that live under the trees over there. We give them some prasadam at the gate, but we can't start letting them in because, things start disappearing, maybe, and so on. Or people, other people won't come. Yes, we are people. We have shortcomings. We are not perfect. We are like Prabhupada said the patients in the hospital are looking after other patients. Everyone's a patient in the hospital, so no one's perfect. So we'll look after each other with our imperfections. And if it's difficult, you know, someone's trying to put a temple in order, and with good intentions, and becomes the temple commander. But then takes on too much the role of an army sergeant, and everyone is like, after 1 week, rebelling, get mutiny on the bounty, and all these things. So what to do? So we are individuals, we are a community, and we are a society. So as a community, we are people. As a society, we have a managerial structure. And all these, the managerial structure is having policies to protect the community, is having policies for devotee care. Then the community is people with hearts, right, who just care, you know, on a personal level, and then, you know, we're individuals who try to care. And all of that is all flawed. And we are flawed as individuals, the community is flawed, and the society is flawed. Everything is flawed. And we have to just appreciate that, that it makes sense. The Prabhupada said, this is not utopia. It's not going to be utopia.
That's right. Utopia is an illusion.
Yeah. You cannot have utopia. So we have to do all this devotee care in an environment where there is some misunderstanding, some friction, some something, and rise above it. We have to have that willingness to say, these things happen, you know. Okay, it's like, okay, there was some backbiting gossip anyway, you know, being like a big deal, you know. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, you are somewhat familiar with our Yatra Cape Town. Can you think of one or two or maybe six things we can start doing? We can start doing right now, which will sort of enhance or help enhance the mood of caring, of connectedness, of you know, being close-knit.
You know, you have a computer there, and I kind of suspect that you already have six things on your computer, do you?
No, I'm just taking notes.
You have nothing on there. Hard disks are usually, you know, usually, you don't have a little PowerPoint on the motion chair or something.
No? Above, I can access something, but I mean,
yeah, it's like, I guess, you know, put some basic things in place. I guess start communicating on the topic. I think communication is a beginning, which is at least what we got from Vasanti. I interrupted you when you and cut you off and confused you and this and that.
No, you helped me. Thank you.
But communication, I think, is the beginning, because it can only come from a sense of community, and that comes from, it begins with communication, where everyone feels included. Yeah, and that means you have to communicate, otherwise. So that's why communication creates community and includes everyone. So that's important, let's say. And then as a community, you start creating support for people in different ashrams and people that change ashrams and things like that. And so support people in the flow through the ashrams. Ashrams are a flow, right? It's like life, you go through the ashrams. So some support in the ashrams is important. Keep track of your community. I mean, who is your community? And make sure no one is left out. Someone can we can go to the devotees' houses to program, to try and include people. Keep more track of your greater community.
Maharaj, there are two devotees who are in their 70s. I'm very fond of them. They're a very sweet couple, a brother and a sister. And I've spent some time with them over the Sunday programs. And I really enjoy this cessation. But they are now leaving for Durban. They've decided the Mataji was tied up in her home. There was an invasion. She feels unsafe in Ryland. She's selling her house.
Yeah.
For 1 point something, blah, blah, blah. She gives me the figure, saying to me, do you know, if there was an inclusive environment in the ashram, they would move into the ashram and donate this money to the ashram. Yes. But because there is not such a thing, they will go to Durban, where there is more of a society where they can live in that kind of ashram environment. Like you opened your discussion in such a way, I thought it quite pertinent, because I feel like I will miss these devotees because they can't find security in this immediate environment. You know, because this ashram, it's beautiful, but traditionally, I mean, you know, you've been here for as many years. I first came to this ashram probably in 1989 as a 17-year-old hippie, you know, loving the prasadam. And that was the mood. It was young, it was dynamic, it was bright pink. It was very like that. And it has not changed too much. So somewhat over the years, it stayed very much in that similar mood, although it's expanded and grown, etc., etc. I just thought that, you know, there may be room for some kind of expansion on that level where, you know, like, you know, I'm in half a dozen years, I'll be 50. You know, which I never thought would happen. But, you know, and I'm thinking also, like, okay, it's 25 years away, but sooner or later I will face a similar experience. And, you know, if this temple retains that same mood, then I too will go to do it.
Yeah, so, like, you know, as I was saying earlier on, the youth, the children, then there's the elderly, right? And how to integrate a program for them. So you can see that it all comes on three levels: the level of, you know, individual care, when people care about people, like you just expressed, you know, a person caring about persons, and then you get like the community. How much can the community do? Yeah. How many people can you care for? What can you absorb? And then you get like the society that has to sort of try and make sense out of that and sort of say, well, you know, let's create some program and say these these and these things, let's focus on them, and some other things may come in the long term, or prioritize, or, I guess that will that comes more on the organizational level. So all these levels are will have to get involved. You know, I mean, you've identified in a personal way, you know, with a graphic example, couple, and how you feel and your connection. And then you have to look at, like, yeah, how you deal with a generation that comes of age. Then it's suddenly, like, huge. And then Durban's falling short, everybody's falling short. Maipur's falling short, Vrindavan's falling short. You know, like, ISKCON's falling short. It's like, what do you do now? So we cannot just absorb everything, right? But take some steps at least to maybe we cannot provide them the security they need. Right? You know, sometimes people are better off if they go, you know, maybe they're better off in the UK, I don't know, whatever, you know, saying. Security.
But, no such thing. I mean, in the
material. Or in Gujarat, you know. Go back to Gujarat.
Sorry, excuse me. It's because this subject interests me so much, and I've been researching so much about community building, going back to communities and all these things, and I remember the other class you were talking about being connected to your true self and being original to yourself. And now you were talking about trust and community building, and like for me it's so connected, like the when you have space to review yourself, and like so you work on yourself to know what's going on inside and your inner thoughts and stuff, and then you can share with somebody and have this exchange. And the more, and then trust is building in there. And I always find that revealing your mind or your heart is so powerful. But then I see some barriers because we are religious organizations, and sometimes like with Matajis and Prabhu, so there is this. And then you were sharing this profile you used to share with everybody, sometimes some personal. And I found it so amusing. So I don't really have a question, but I was interested in maybe learn, like listen some words, or I don't know if you have, but around it, like, or like going back to what Prabhupada would, how was that that you were sharing so much, even though each one, because sometimes I face this, like this barrier of like, oh no, you're Mataji, and then, so how are we a family when we cannot really approach heart by heart, because there is this...
Yeah, it changed a little bit, you know, like in the beginning, there were more, it was much more open, more like a family. And although, you know, male and female were following principles, right, and also in etiquette, but... there was a family spirit of being brothers and sisters, and so they could also hear from each other, or, you know, the ladies would also take leading roles in whatever areas they were good at. And later it became... it became more distant, more cold. Like, I was married for a long time, so I heard a lot from my former wife, who was a capable lady, you know, and still is, actually. She's still alive, but she is a capable lady, who, before Krishna consciousness, we were together before, and she was managing all kinds of things. She's a good organizer, you know, always has been capable. So, and she would sometimes see in India, you know, in the big projects, and people steal a lot, and then she would see like this worker, he's stealing, and then she would say something to the person who was in charge, the brahmachari or something, Mataji, you can't speak to me. He said, but he's like stealing. He's like, wow, plant stinks. Oh, sorry, but I can't speak to a Mataji. So those were like crazy things, you know. I saw in one temple of South Africa, there was a temple of brahmacharis, and there was one lady, and she fainted. And they all stood there saying, oh, well, it's like, you know. Yes, he had fainted. That's it. call the paramedics to do something, you know.
Do we need to build infrastructure? Do we need to build with new techniques, with new resources, new infrastructure for ISKCON?
Maybe. Some infrastructure. Some things have to also we need some things to be absorbed by collectives of householders as a group, you know, like that's traditionally not everything can be done by a temple. Right? So at one point, how much can ISKCON take on? Is ISKCON gonna replace society at large and fulfill all its needs, all the needs of Varna and Ashram? Or is ISKCON gonna be like maintaining temples, ashrams and so on, and institutions for teaching spiritual knowledge, like a church, like a temple, and is there a greater community around it which provides education for children, which provides care for the elderly, which can ISKCON absorb everything? These kind of questions are bouncing around for the, especially in the last 20 years, and different opinions of it. I mean, a lot has been said about devotee care, so why don't you, for Cape Town, collect all that, get someone to start collecting the material and make it available to people. Right, that is one of the things to do.
Thank you. Yesterday you mentioned something which I thought was very interesting, which was Care for Life program that they started in Australia. Care for Life?
Oh, Care for Life.
I wondered if you could comment on it.
I don't know if Care for Life is really the ideal model for caring for the devotees, but at one point they felt that Food for Life was limited and didn't fully, as a banner of ISKCON, wasn't like fully representing what ISKCON is doing. There's some truth to that. Food for Life came out of IFR. IFR was ISKCON Food Relief. And ISKCON Food Relief started after Prabhupada saw how in Mayapur these poor children were digging in the garbage and the leftovers together with dogs, right? And the dogs were growling, I mean, stray dogs. And when Prabhupada saw that, then he said that within a radius of 10 miles of a temple, nobody go hungry. Right? And then for India, then they started IFR, ISKCON Food Relief, and India was getting money from international. So like, and then later, that was sort of after Prabhupada. IFR continued sort of until early 80s, and then it began to revamp it, and it eventually came up with Food for Life. But then others think more about it and say maybe it should go for Care for Life. Yeah. Anyway, it's your baby.
Okay, so Maharaj, I know you promised us 30 minutes, so we've gotten almost three times an hour and a half of your time, so thank you very much for that. We're grateful for that. Once again, we pray for your blessings, and thank you very much.
I wish you a lot of success.
Thank you.
Bye. I gave the spiritual principles, which is what a sannyasi is supposed to do. Loving relationships. That's the key. And that we have to learn. Me too. It's a learning curve. Working on it. So if everyone tries, that will help. So I wish you good luck. You can go on. But I personally have no complaints. I'm very well cared for. I have devotees. So I want to thank you all for your very good care.
So this guy, Mukanda Maharaj, keep.